Hey guys, welcome back to the Beyond Forgiveness podcast. I'm your host, Alex Christine. And first things first, we're just going to read through our scripture of the day. And that is Jeremiah 51, verses 15 through 19. This is an anthem of praise to the Lord, affirming his uniqueness and his majesty, and contrasts the reality of the one true God with the worthlessness of idols. So, okay, here we go. The Lord made the earth by his power, and he preserves it by his wisdom. With his own understanding, he stretched out the heavens. When he speaks in the thunder, the heavens are filled with water. He causes the clouds to rise over the earth. He sends the lightning with the rain and releases the wind from his storehouses. The whole human race is foolish and has no knowledge. The craftsmen are disgraced by the idols they make, for their carefully shaped works are a fraud. These idols have no breath or power. Idols are worthless. They are ridiculous lies. On the day of reckoning, they will all be destroyed. But the God of Israel is no idol. He is the creator of everything that exists, including his people, his own special possession. The Lord of Heaven's armies is his name. All right. So I have been journaling recently, and there have been some things put on my mind about just different situations have came about recently that I now feel like I need to talk about. And I'm going to credit my counselor for that. He's amazing. So basically, what it has to do with is confrontation in a Christian friendship, relationship, whatever, however you want to define the dynamic. But the dynamic is number one most important. So I was telling my counselor today just about some recent things that have happened, and I'm just not, okay, all glory to God, it's a gift from God that I'm like this, but I've never really been the type to point out another's flaws, because when I think about it, I recognize all of my own. So, like, if I'm ever seeing somebody doing something, if something annoys me or whatever, I'm looking back on myself. Why does that annoy me? What about that is annoying? What about that behavior? X, Y, and Z. Working through my part of it, not blaming that person. That person is still amazing. I see all good in people, like, in that aspect of encouragement, because we all have something good, and it is way better and way more encouraging and way more helpful and productive, scientifically proven, to point out where you were doing good. Like, if you're only told all the negative things you do all the time, how good are you? Like, I mean, where's that going to get you? You could ask a lot of people, and many would say nowhere. Because you need that positive encouragement in your life, and especially as a Christian living in a fallen world. So, that's where I get to. And I kind of touched on it in the last video, but then the verses I used made zero sense with the context. So any of the context, like, just, yeah. So, but it's about isolation in times whenever I think God keeps us, like, I mean, we are told to guard our hearts. Jesus says we're going to be hearing about all these crazy things in the last days, last times, and, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Do not be afraid of man. Do not be afraid of what man can do to the body. Be afraid of the one who can destroy the body in hell. And that's God alone. So that's the first little part. So yeah, when you're thinking about, like, okay, how long does it take to get to know someone? Can you just talk to someone, say, hey, what's up? Consider yourself friends? Maybe. But do you know that person? I'm going to say most of us would say no. So moving on from that, at what point then, and this is going to be different for everybody, where everyone's like, at this point, I think I know them, or X, Y, and Z, and I'm not saying anyone or anything is right or wrong. I just know what the word says, and I try to live that out with the strength that the Spirit has given me for the day. So yeah, but when I think about some of, like, I think as Christian friends, like, if you know someone, and I'm talking, I've known some people my whole life, and they still don't know me, if that makes sense. I think you need to be very aware of someone's strengths if you consider yourself to love them, and especially, you know, and we are not God. We do not love perfectly. We're gonna fall, we're gonna fail sometimes. Like, it's not always gonna go the way we want it to, and we're not always gonna say or do the right things. That's okay. But one of my bigger things in relationships is, I've, and this could also be like a me problem, it is a me problem in a way, But I am the type that just not wants to avoid conflict. I'll address conflict when it's in a calm way. But if I'm fully aware that conflict cannot be addressed in a calm way, and there are different levels of calm. Some people might think yelling is calm or raising your voice is calm. That's not. And there's also a difference between that and just getting passionate and being, you know, but you have to be addressing, like, what's going on inside of me that would be making me act this way. And let me cool that down first. And then, because, you know, that could be, it could be pride. It could be not wanting to be wrong. It could be this or that. Well, okay, so in Christian friendships or relationships or whatever, I think always encouraging is the best way to go. Like, I mean, Jesus harshly rebukes people saying, remove the rod from your own eye before you try to get the speck out of your friend's eye. Basically saying, don't be looking at what other people are doing wrong. Like, look into yourself first. Clean first that which is within the cup, and that which is on the outside will also be clean. And that's different. And there are so many ways you could take that. But in a poetic way, it sounds like, or metaphorical way, it kind of sounds like God is after the heart of the inner man, which he is. The Psalms would say that too, and many other verses throughout the Bible would say that. But that's more that then the outside will also be clean. That was during a different time, so, and a different culture. So, okay. Things were considered unclean during that time. Certain things, like certain foods, certain, if you touched someone with leprosy, a person with leprosy was considered unclean. I'm pretty sure a woman on her menstrual cycle was considered unclean. So, all right. Knowing somebody, being able to call them out, whether you should be encouraging, like being encouraging a lot more rather than, yeah, but there is also a time to be corrected. But I recently heard something, can't exactly remember where I heard it, but it was very recent, and someone said, well, one was that, you don't have to be guilty these days. You just have to be accused. And that's... No, that's not. It was something about... I don't know. I'll come back to it, I guess. Anyway, so when you know someone, though, and if you think you know someone as a Christian, and you feel close enough to that person to tell them what they're doing wrong, which is very close. Like, I could even say with some of my family members, I would not feel that way with. And that's just the truth. It can be hard... you have to do it in a loving way. This is the point that I'm trying to make, basically. If you know that person, some people do need, like, hard love, or what is it? Harsh love? Tough love. Yeah. Some people need that. But some people are really sensitive, and, you know, they weren't the kid that needed the spanking, they're the kid that needed the timeout or something taken away. I was more like that kid, though. I was just like, I'm too sensitive, I never wanted to displease anybody, like, you know. Still kind of that way. And I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings either. Telling people, feeling like I even know someone well enough to say something is a lot. Like, to say, like, hey, I think you're falling short in this area. Because we should be bettering each other in Christ, for sure. I think my church says God loves us no matter where we are, saves us there, but he loves us too much to leave us there. So, and that's kind of the process of progressive sanctification. Just one degree of glory to the next, being transformed into the image of his son, into Jesus Christ. So, man, my throat is killing me. One second. Sorry, guys. Okay. So, yeah, like, while we're on this road, I think people close to me know what I struggle with. They know that I've brought that to God. They know I've had seasons of fasting with those. They know exactly what is going on. And the thing is, a lot of it is, they're like, so their behaviors, okay? But one of them in particular is, I feel wrong about it, but it's not morally wrong at all. Like, there's nowhere in the Bible I can find where it says, like, this is wrong. Nowhere. But you just know it is. So there's that, or there are some things that are like that. But then there are others where truly, I think, you know, as I was telling my counselor today, I was like, I know my wrestle. God knows my wrestle. And so when I go through those seasons of fasting and whatnot, I tend to get really, really ill. And I don't mean ill, like, I mean, I don't need to explain it to anyone. And I've came close to losing my life several times. So I think at some point, God just gave me this sense of peace that he has me here for a reason. Like, I should have lost my life so many times. didn't. He has me here for a reason. So it is, for me, getting to know him more during this, but like, it's very simple. Love God and love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's just, and I had just wrote down two little, I have sticky notes. I've taken them down for the videos, but yeah, I just wrote down one the other day that says, love covers all sins. And I needed that reminder so bad, because sometimes we can get caught up in all this rightness and wrongness and what you're doing, yada yada. I mean, some people do want hard love. Like, some people want someone to be mad at them. Some people want that. I don't know. I'm not built like that, so I'm not quite sure how, when I'm a more gentle person approaching someone maybe who's like more harsh, like there are several people in my life who are like that. I will say just several. I mean, including family, outside and like not family, everything in all the areas of life. And I'm naturally sensitive. So I'm naturally like, I'll cry and shut down or whatever and get really, like I truly do get sad about it, but I'm happy for helpful I'm happy for constructive, I'm thankful for constructive criticism. What I don't really care for is unprecedented or unsolicited advice. I don't care for the approach that some people, and I'm sorry, especially when I, like, if you go to a church, you know, some Christians who would say they go to church every Sunday, they do all the things, their approach to some things scares me quite a bit, because I'm like, I've been in places of absolute and complete brokenness, and I'm telling you, the church is the last place I felt like I could have gone. Because immediately you get that feeling, oh, you're stuck in sin. I've had someone literally tell me that before, that it's because I'm stuck in sin that these things keep happening. It's because I'm doing, I've had people try to approach situations and say, and that was when I needed it. It was like a blind spot. I hadn't known it was like a problem until this person brought it to my attention. This was many, many years ago. And I was like, but she started it with, Alex, you're just living in sin. And I'm like, true. Are you without it? I have learned, and this is from someone who, I'm sorry, like, your background matters too. If you haven't experienced grace, don't talk about it. How's that? Like, I mean, yes, sure, talk, but it's empty words, because there's not love behind it, because you don't know, you don't understand, you've not experienced it. When you truly have experienced the grace of God in your life, something changes. Things start changing. And that's all glory to Him. This is not directed at people who are not professed. Like, that's not, it's not directed at anybody, but especially those who are not professed Christians, because this is the people who, this is to people who want to say stuff like, I don't know, like, look at the fruits, that type of thing. Like, they're just very, like, moral-based, religiosity type of thing. All throughout Scripture, you see a different picture painted. Like, I'm talking every single person in the Bible, for the most part. Like, the major characters, except for Jesus, had a lot of mess-ups. A lot of things that many people would make, probably in this day and age, they'd probably be like, oh, you're not in Christ. And, or because you've done these things, X, Y, and Z. But I think that's the importance of people, and me especially, like, when I learned and began to understand what progressive sanctification is, it really changed the game. I mean, I was like, it really is one degree of glory to the next. It's not overnight. And for some, it is. Sometimes, like, when you first become a Christian, there's, like, this fire inside of you, and you want to tell everybody everything, and most of the time, I remember looking back, I was like, a billion times I wish I hadn't said anything, because I was so wrong, and I was being so influenced by the enemy, too, by God drawing, you know, God had drawn me near. There was a lot of spiritual warfare going on, so, but over time, God slowly began to reveal things more and more to me, and ouch. And as that happened, like, and he began piecing together his word and the salvation we have in Christ, I'm like, I feel like I'd known this in my heart, but being around certain people and in certain situations, and they say they're Christian, and it's like, I'm not really understanding, like, how things got to the, I mean, I guess I do understand how they got to the point they did, and they're not even bad, like, the circumstances now are not bad. I found a good church family, and I'm ready to switch the subject. My throat's dying again. Yeah, so All right, so have we even finished covering, like, what it is to know someone? Because really, like, I think that's subjective. That's to each person's, maybe even own awareness of him or herself, actually. So, like, for me, I'm pretty self-aware. So, like I said, I was wrestling with these things. This was between me and God. And then someone who didn't know me. And I thought, like, I don't know how they thought that they knew me. Maybe just because we had hung out for so long, but, like, I don't really know, but it's just kind of, I never felt any tension when things were addressed. But I will say, I had just had some places on my skin biopsy that day. I had a lot in my life outside of everything, mostly health related, and just pressures, external pressures, another time of extreme spiritual warfare. So I was not doing well. My friend wants to talk and then confronts me about these things that she feels the need to confront me about. And I'm like, the way I perceived it was at the time, I'm not really sure how I perceived it. I think I was a little, if I could tell you all the context, it would make absolute sense, but I don't really want to, because I'm not trying to bash anybody. I don't know. You have to love somebody, first of all. And you can say you love somebody, but look to the word to figure out what love is. And then learn to love yourself, then you can know how to love others. I get really, really, I just get irritated, honestly. I get really irritated with people who are, say God saved them from something recently, and that's amazing. I celebrate that. Truly, God saved me from a lot of things. But, okay, if you didn't know somebody when God saved them, when Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, saved you at your darkest, at your darkest moment, at your worst, Jesus Christ saved you at your worst, okay? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, okay? So if that's the case, so I'm at my worst. Say he saves me from something like overnight. It was like an immediate thing, immediate change. And that happened, and it was with a certain thing. And I had a lot of other stuff going on too during that time. And mostly external, like internally, I was just sad, depressed, like it's just horrible. It's just in such a dark place mentally and emotionally, physically, spiritually, it was bad. And so yeah, that what he saves you from then is going to be different for everybody. And that's not to say even if you hadn't been baptized, like say, you know, because I was baptized when I was younger, and I think God kind of like just walked with me, you know, throughout then, and he still walked with me in early adulthood when I made all the mistakes. But then he pulled me up out of that at the worst. And that was kind of a revelation I had today. I'm like, wow, that was my worst. That means it can only get better. Even though it still feels really heavy, it's like, no, I miss that feeling. It comes and goes, and he's always there. The feeling will come and go, but he is always there. So, yeah, but basically the point of that little timeline thing I was trying to do is like, if someone did not know me when God saved me at my worst, please, the audacity to belittle someone who truly you might not even know based on where they're at then in Christ, when you meet them one-on-one or when you meet them in person, whatever, you just, is your first time encountering another Christian or whatever, this is where you meet them. Say that's 5 years later, say that's 10 years later, 20, 30. You want to call out this thing, you don't even know them. So you can't really even, I mean, even if you did know them, even if you didn't know them, you could still say it in love. But you have to know what love is, and why would you want to say it? It's like, if you don't know how far God has brought that person up into this point, imagine all the great things he's going to be doing in the future, because God never lets the enemy wants to take what is good and make it bad. And what the enemy meant for evil, the enemy just wants to stir stuff up. Like the enemy, what is it? There's a verse in Genesis that I think it's Joshua saying to his brothers who had him imprisoned, what you meant for evil, my God will make into good. And there's like a similar context, I think, in Job where I will restore double what the enemy has stolen from you. And you know, whenever God allowed everything to be taken away from Job, and Job still worshiping despite all that, stronger than, definitely me, stronger than a lot of us. That's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so back to like, maybe it's just different personality types, but like when I think of blindside, like if someone's going to catch my blindside, things I can't see that I might be doing that could be detrimental in the future to my relationship with Christ. that would be what I would consider something on my blind side, something I can't see. But in order for you to know that, you have to know what I can see about myself. And that's just confession and whatnot. So, and in that, you also shouldn't feel judged, because we all do fall short. Speaking truth and life into people, I think, is very, very critical. But there is a time for warning. You know, like I said, when I first became a Christian, I thought I knew all this stuff, but things were confusing and, like, yada yada, and I would just talk, like, I would just say all these things, and I'm like, that was horrible. I cannot believe I said that. Like, that was, like, I've had to ask a lot of forgiveness, because I'm like, and I pray that I never led anyone astray and that those wrongs would be corrected, because I should not. So someone I was very, very close to is kind of in that early phase. And I'm not saying that early Christian, early, like a slam of, like, progressive sanctification started happening overnight, you know, and fueled a fire. And I love that. I remember that. But I also remember that the way I approached things during that time was not helpful to other people. Because I was trying to, like, just tell everybody about Jesus. Go up to somebody and say, you're living in all the wrong ways. See how they respond, okay? And the Bible's not saying, like, I mean, I'm not saying anyone's going to respond good no matter what. Some people are going to respond bad no matter what, no matter how good you put it, or nicely or lovingly you put it. And in that case, maybe it's different, you know, but okay, so you know somebody, you have encouraged them in many of their good things, then you get to a point and you're like, okay, so I saw that, I'm seeing this, but like, for me, I always use like a personal example, just like that. Like, I remember whenever that fire was like really big in me, looking back, just thinking about all the people that I misapproached because of that time. And I mean, God will make things right. You know, God will, that's my hope. It's Christ. Jesus Christ is my only hope. I mean, doing anything and anything I do say fully surrendered, and it's an everyday thing. And that was another thing that I wanted to talk about. You know, when you have that fire, you feel like you have all these gifts and whatnot, and you, it's almost like you do, like, there's, like, more gifts dispensed upon you during that time. And I had started to worry recently, because there are so many seasons where it's like, where did I lose it? Am I, like, the wicked servant who, like, hid the talent, and now I don't have it, and, you know, now I'm a wicked servant? And I worry a lot about that. Like, I want to use the talents God gave me, and I sometimes get to the point where I feel like I'm giving up on hope. Like, if I've gotten in a rut, sometimes all it really takes is a positive reminder, a positive word from scripture, a good word from scripture to reignite my heart and my hope. Because I really struggle with depression. That's been a lifelong thing. That's not just now. I've always struggled with that. But I'm sorry, one second. But yeah, and I think sometimes during those little times of questioning, God, are you still with me and stuff, I need reminders, like, but here recently, he has given me a super profound sense of peace, of just that I'm never too far from him. He who started a good work in me will be faithful to bring it to completion. I don't know if I said that right. I hope I did. But I remembered one time someone was like, you have a light. It was my counselor. He said, you have a light in your eyes. It's like Jesus, you know, came to you overnight and put a little light inside of you. And I was like, well, that's amazing, because he says that if he's with me, he will never leave me or forsake me. God will never leave us or forsake us. I found that very, very comforting, because sometimes you can definitely feel like he's not there. And I think it's quite the opposite. So we got to remind ourselves sometimes, me included. I have to have help. Sometimes I can't do it all by myself. And I've learned that, especially after being in relationships where I was away. Especially when I was in relationships where I was living away from everyone I knew, family, friends, everybody, and was too scared to leave, too embarrassed to leave, just in dark, dark places, you know. I think that kind of gave me a new appreciation for community. Especially a Christian community, or one where you have people speaking life into you. Like, I can just truly tell you that during those times, I did not need someone telling me everything I was doing wrong. I needed someone to just listen. I just needed someone to be there. And there were a lot of things I went through that were, I went through alone because I had to, because of the circumstances, but it gave me a way greater appreciate. It gave me a way greater appreciate. Can I say this? It gave me a way stronger appreciation for those who were around during that time, because, or those who now are around, and just like, because I used to love being alone, honestly, like I liked a lot of it, and I still kind of do. I appreciate my space, but a lot of that's like PTSD kind of left over because I just get overwhelmed and overstimulated in, like, different kinds of environments and whatnot. And don't worry, I've tried exposure therapy. I've been doing the things, and there has been progress made. But, sorry, that was subtly rude, and I'm sorry. Passivity is not good. Shame on me. Or I should just say, God forgive me, and he forgives me. Then there's no shame attached to that. Wow. I'm glad I got that on here. So, ooh, I have a fascination for the book Zechariah. Okay. I have a fascination for the books in the Bible that aren't talked about or discussed very much, and especially minor prophets. So one of them is like Zechariah, another Zephaniah, you know, Micah, which means who is like God. Which is amazing because the answer, no one. He is the holiest of holy. He is holy, holy, holy. Yeah. Okay, anyway. There's a part in Zechariah whenever I was in a long season of heartbreak. Just one heartbreak after another after another. I lost the ability to fight. And there were some chapters that would be very comforting. For instance, Song of Solomon. Especially when I was trying to learn, like, what is a godly way for women to be treated? Don't go to, like, what is it, Numbers or Leviticus or Deuteronomy, where they chop the girl up and send her to everybody. Actually, there's a whole lot more behind that context, so that was something I should not have even tried to get into. But yeah, they cut, okay, I'll get into that another time. But basically, yeah, no, so back to these, another one that helps me with, that helped me during that time of, like, heartbreak and stuff, and you know, a girl should be treated, and just want, needing to feel love, honestly, just needing to feel love. There was one verse that said, like a woman rejected in her youth, I will come to save you. And it spoke to me because I had felt so rejected during that time. And I didn't even realize I felt that way. I was just like, wow, I actually have been rejected by these guys. Like, I just kept pushing things because I wanted it to work so bad, and I felt like I loved them that much. Yeah, and it was so comforting because it's like, even though other people reject us, God doesn't reject us. God loves us. And that's the thing for single and married people too, because I think I used to think that a partner should fulfill my every need. That was my thought process. I was like, a partner has to do, you know, that's what they were there for. I don't know why I thought that, but I just did, I guess. But I thought that, and I quickly changed that really quick because, well, over, not quickly. Over time, and I've talked a little bit about this before, but, like, I learned that God is the one who fulfills all our needs. Sometimes it's through people, sometimes it's through this or that, or medicine, or a person, a relationship, a friendship. It could be seasonal, it could be a pet, it could be, you know, plants, food, like, seriously, everything in the earth belongs to the Lord. So just kind of, yeah, him giving you little signs, just helping you get through, that brings much comfort and peace and love and joy to my heart. And I noticed that again here lately with people who have came into my life, and they just show back up, and I'm like, I love you, God. Because you just have to know, like, I just know it's him. He's shown me too much for me to doubt. He has shown me way too much that he's with me and he's saving me, even in my mess, for me to doubt that he's not with me in this mess. Because we're all going to be in a mess, in just different types of messes, until we go to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory goes to him. There's nothing we do. Salvation is a gift is a gift given. Nothing we could do would ever let us be able to earn it. So I think it's very humbling to remember that sometimes. You know, we kind of like to just kind of like to be important, and I mean, that's the human in us, but really, God gets all the glory. I know I've been without strength. I've been unable to get out of my bed. And I know other people who have similar testimonies, and they'll say, you know, God got me up that morning. Well, some people, it's like, it's been 5 years, and it's slow. And it's just, everyone has a different type of struggle. But I think it's just important to give people, to be patient with people and their process, and understand and know they're not in the same place as you. And again, if you didn't know them or know where they were at when God saved them, I truly feel like it's a bit unsafe to have the audacity to tell someone where they're wrong now. Again, worrying about the rod in your own eye, not the splinter in your whoever's. Your friends, your boyfriends, your girlfriends, your dads, your moms, your sisters, your uncles, your brothers. I don't know whose eye, but somebody's eye. Don't look at the splinter. Love covers all sin. The whole law and prophets is fulfilled in this. Love your neighbor as yourself. All glory to God. I hope you all are doing well, and I'm, again, really happy to be back, and really thankful for all of you, each and every single one of you. I can't see everyone who's subscribed on things, but I'm so thankful for you guys and your support. Really means the world to me. God bless. Thanks again for tuning in, guys.